Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. But if you can't travel or get up there on Sunday mornings, you can always join us on our live stream. We live stream our Sunday messages. We also record them on YouTube for later watching. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and click on either the live stream on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time, or you can go to the YouTubes and watch the YouTubes at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Well, we've been working our way through the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, and I want to remind you that when Paul is writing this prayer, he is in prison in Rome, chained to a Roman guard. Paul is writing to remind a church that is filled with ordinary Christians that they can become extraordinary through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Before we turn to our New Testament passage, I think it's important for us to hear the Old Testament alongside the New Testament. And I've been teaching Isaiah on Wednesday nights. I offer that too to you. You can always join us. We Zoom our Wednesday night Bible studies, our Monday night Bible studies. But I'm teaching Isaiah on Wednesday nights, and I've been reading and rereading the book of prophecies to Judah. They were being surrounded by the Assyrians, and eventually the collapse of the city of Jerusalem took place around 586. I love finding nuggets of gold from the Old Testament that I hold on to as I go through trying and difficult times. Remember the reading last week from Isaiah? I want us to pause, ponder, and reflect on the promises found in this passage, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, some translations say those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Remember that whenever we have a problem, we can find a promise in the passages or the pages of the Bible. Problem, passage, promise. I encourage you to pause, ponder, personalize it, pray it, praise it, proclaim it, and you will have peace. From a problem to peace. Problem, passage, promise, pause, ponder, personalize, pray, praise, proclaim, and peace. Look at the promises just in this Isaiah passage real quick. The Lord is an everlasting God. Wow. Just pause and go outside sometime and just look around. God is an everlasting God. The Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth. The Lord does not grow tired or weary. Praise the Lord. No one can fathom the understanding of God. God gives strength to the weary. God increases the power of the weak. Those who hope or those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, who here listening today is weary? Who's weak? Who listening today has a problem? Well, I'm going to encourage you as your pastor today, pause and ponder and personalize this passage. Wait or hope in the Lord, and he will renew your strength. The Lord will help you soar on wings like eagles. You'll be able to run and not be weary. You'll be able to walk and not faint, because our God is an everlasting God, and he knows all you are facing. Before we turn to our prayer in Ephesians, let us come before the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we come today weak and weary after another week of work, another week of news that bombards us with worries and fears. We come to you because you are an everlasting God, and you created all things and you know all things. We put into your everlasting hands our worries, our fears, our pain, and our problems, and we wait, and we trust, and we rest in you. Renew us today so that we can soar on eagle's wings. We can run and not become weary, and we can walk and not faint. Strengthen us in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Grab your new Bible, grab the New Testament. We're going to be in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. We were there last week. We've been there for several weeks. The series is called Stronger Together. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, if you were listening last week, we talked about being invited into the whole family, Pasa Patria, in heaven and on earth. That is a powerful promise. The church is part of the whole family of God. Today, I would like for us to reflect on a few promises found in verses 16 and verse 17. Look at these promises found in verses 16 and 17 of Ephesians 3. God has glorious riches. God will strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Christ dwells in your heart through faith. So let's look at this. Glorious riches. What's so interesting is to look at the Greek in verse 16. Paul is praying that these ordinary Gentile Christians will be blessed with the glorious riches of God. The actual Greek word tells us that these glorious riches come out of God. The word for out is kata, K-A-T-A, and it means according to or downward or in relation to. God's storehouse is filled with glorious riches that comes downward to us according to his grace and mercy. Remember that Paul is praying this prayer for those in the church. If you're listening, that is you. That's you and me. We're in the church. At the end of chapter 11 in the book of Romans, our good friend and prisoner, Paul writes these words to the church in Rome. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and in him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Oh, the depths of the riches of God's wisdom and knowledge. Oh, the riches of heaven and earth are in God's hands. From God and through God are all things. Whether it is rulers in Rome, or the Rockefellers in New York, or the Bill Gates in Washington, or the wealthy people who give from their riches, know this. This is what Paul is trying to teach the church in Ephesus, and he's trying to teach us today. God gives according to or in relation to his glorious riches. Listen, friends, God owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Paul wants these common, ordinary Christians to be blessed according to the glorious riches of Christ. Paul wants the early church to know how rich they truly are. A lady in our church wrote me the other day, and she watched the programs on 9/11. She said, "I put my money where my heart is. For years, I have watched our firemen in our church raise money for the Tunnels to Tower program. Today, I joined. Each month, I'm donating $11 towards a mortgage-free home for one of those heroes, either from 9/11 or from the military or police or fire." I told her, "This is what Paul is talking about, giving from our own riches. I see this church, I see the Seed Christian Fellowship, our church, do this over and over again. I see the Seed Christian Fellowship planting seeds of hope day in and day out. And all of you are giving from your riches. And I want to say thank you. We do not know the names of the people in the Church of Ephesus. And just like our we have two rescue orphan homes in Zambia. We don't know all the names of the children there, but they are blessed when we give our out of our riches to them on noisy Sundays. We just had a noisy Sunday at the Seed Christian Fellowship where we collect coins, and we raised over $1,900 that Sunday. But in 11 years, we've raised $32,000 for the babies that are born and given away or left in shoeboxes in Zambia. You could be a part of that ministry if you want to help. I'm sure you've heard the programming here. What Paul is praying is that we may all experience the blessing of the riches of God that lead us to a wonderful summit, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. The second word is he asks that we be strengthened with power. He may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This past week, I was talking with someone who was really anxious and afraid. I know, maybe that's you listening right now. I have so many people that are anxious and afraid. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to pray for you. The other day, I had a lady write me and say, we had a wonderful miracle from the prayers of the church. God wants us to be a praying church. If you'd like to have a prayer concern, you can go to our website, click on the prayer concern, and our church will pray for you. But I was talking about someone that came to me, and they're very anxious and afraid. And I think we have a lot of people who are very anxious and afraid. This person told me that she laid down to go to sleep. She asked God to come and calm her heart. This person told me that she felt chills up and down her body, and a real sense of peace and calmness washed over her, and she went right to sleep. She says every time she remembers what happened, she gets goosebumps, and I call them Holy Ghost bumps, and she's filled yet again with more peace. Friends, this is what Paul is writing about: God's peace in our inner being. The Holy Spirit is the Parakletos. That's the Greek word for Holy Spirit, Parakletos, the one who comes alongside, the one who comes alongside to comfort, the one who comes alongside to counsel, the one who comes alongside to strengthen us in our inner being. Why would Paul pray that the Christians in Ephesus be strengthened in their inner being? Now, I know you probably haven't thought about that. That's what I wrote in my journal. Why is he asking for them to be strengthened in their inner being? Can you imagine having Christ dwell in your heart, being filled with the fullness of God? So often, many Christians come to Christ and they ask Christ to be their Savior, but they do not allow him to be Lord of their lives. It's like we have a great insurance policy and we get to go to heaven, but when the storm clouds come, difficulties rise, pandemics arrive, troubles arrive from all around the world, we worry and we get anxious about many things. Many become bewildered and fall away from their relationship with Christ. This is where Jesus as Lord fills the gap. Yes, if we have Jesus as our Savior, heaven is ours. But if we have Jesus in our heart as Lord and Savior, friends, there's a heavenly peace that fills our hearts while we are living on earth and heading home to heaven. I'm going to pause here. Maybe you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, but you've never asked him to be Lord. There's no better time than right now. Just say, "Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Come and give me your peace that surpasses all understanding, and I'll walk in your ways." Well, you know, it's been said that there are three battlefields that we as Christians face: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Many people have battles with temptations, drugs, sex, alcohol, gambling, pride, and all the other works of the flesh. We know that we live in a fallen world where wars and rumors of wars look over the horizon. We have natural disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes because we live in a world. We have worldwide pandemics. Friends, we also have an enemy called the devil. He's the father of lies and the accuser of the brethren. In John 10:10, it says, Jesus is talking about he's the good shepherd, he's the gate. But in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a semicolon in most English Bibles. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm going to say, what side of the semicolon do you want to live on today? The thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Or the side where Jesus says, I've come to give life and life abundantly? Later in this letter, in the church in Ephesus, Paul tells the early church to stand firm and put on the whole armor of God, because their battle is not against flesh and blood. Listen to how he says it in Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand and stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Friends, the truth be told, our inner man or woman needs to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit because of the powers and principalities we do battle with great and subtle cunning and pretty, and I'm going to tell you, it's pretty darn constant. It's not one and done deal. We get to choose what side of the semicolon we live on every day, every hour, every minute. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Where do you want to live today? Jesus says, I have come to give life and life abundantly. Stealing, killing, and destroying, or life and life abundantly? The truth is this: we need to be strengthened daily in our inner being through the power of the Holy Spirit. Get those P's memorized that I've mentioned in the last couple messages: problem, passage, promise, pause, ponder, personalize, pray, praise, proclaim, and peace. My wife has on the back of our entry door, and on that door she has, my wife has really been in a battle. And if you ask her, she'll tell you it's 603 days in this battle of caregiving. Her entire way of life was stopped and put on pause, and my wife was invited by a former member of our church who lives in Seattle now to do a Bible study with her. What my wife will tell you, that she has learned how to spiral up in the heat of the battle and not spiral down. Lastly, but not least, my heart, Christ home. I'll never forget, you know, I mentioned it last week when little Ben prayed that prayer and we were gathered in that little circle way back in Illinois, and everybody was praying, and Ben prayed, Jesus in my heart. And I think that's a simple prayer. It's a breath prayer. Jesus in my heart. That's the same prayer that Paul prays for us, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. The Greek word for dwell means to settle down or make up a permanent residence. This prayer of Paul is that Jesus Christ will settle down in our heart and dwell within us as a permanent resident. I call them breath prayers, simple prayers we can utter when we just don't have the time or the right words. Little Ben was right when he said, Jesus in my heart. And I mentioned about Robert Munger in his book, My Heart, Christ's Home. I would encourage you to look that book up, get it. I would send it to you if you'd like it. My Heart, Christ's Home. And Jesus goes through room to room. Jesus looks and knocks on the door. And in Revelation 3:20, whoever... Behold, I knock on the door, and whoever opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him. Well, Jesus wants to come into our library, our living room, our dining room, our workshop, and even the closet where we keep everything hidden. And when Jesus has cleaned every room out, the closet and the corner of sin and the worldly ways, he can settle down and be at home. What a profound thought. My heart is Christ's home. Christ is the 24/7, 365 visitor who dwells, inhabits our hearts. It is time for a do-over or makeover. Does your heart need a fresh look? A new paint, new floor, out with the old, worn out stuff you don't need? Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, will help guide each of us on how to give our heart a better makeover. My wife gave her heart to Christ back in 1979, and after watching her have peace beyond understanding, I rededicated my heart to Christ in 1981, over 40 years ago. I can tell you, he's still doing work in my heart. So what? This leads us to the so what. We got to wrap it up and bring it home. How do we apply these ancient words written to our by our good friend Paul? When I was in Ecuador, I experienced a dissension, a discussion, a decision that will have a profound impact on the churches of Guayaquil for years to come. The first day of the retreat, the pastor of the largest church in Guayaquil called a meeting with all the other pastors working the weekend. I was one of them, and he told us that he was pulling his five men from the weekend because he thought the weekend, well, quote-unquote, was too Catholic. We sat and talked with him for over an hour. We prayed and shared scripture together. I read Ephesians 3 and the prayer of Paul, and then read Ephesians 4, which calls for unity by standing there as one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. I told this pastor that the weekend was all about grace, and by staying, he could bring unity to the churches in Guayaquil. When we were done, he asked us to leave so he could talk privately with his men. They came out of the meeting to inform us they were leaving. He then went and talked with the president of the Baptist Association who was there and convinced him to leave with his three men. Two pastors and eight men walked away from God's free gift of grace. These men were going to miss an opportunity to experience God's unconditional love. They walked away from a wonderful opportunity to experience the glorious riches of God. They missed out on the blessing of strengthening of the power of the Holy Spirit in their inner being. They missed out on the blessing of making their hearts truly Christ's home. So my question to you is, how often do we miss God's unconditional love? How often do we miss out on the glorious riches of God's grace? How often do we hold others off from experiencing God's unconditional love and the strengthening of the power of the Holy Spirit? Friends, what is the battleground you're in today? Pandemic? Panic? Fear? Failure? Doubt? Shame? Guilt? Pain? And maybe even unforgiveness? I'm going to encourage you, don't be like those pastors and those men who walked away from a great opportunity to grow in grace. Be strengthened in the power of the inner being. Let us pray real quick. Lord God Almighty, take these ancient words that were spoken so long ago and bury them deep in our hearts. Help us, Lord God, to receive and share your unconditional love. Fill us with holy boldness to be grace givers in all relationships we have, in our families, to our friends, coworkers, classmates, church members, neighbors, and everyone we meet. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you may dwell in your hearts through faith. And Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if someone is listening today and they don't know you, encourage them to open the door of their heart in faith. Encourage them to say, I need you, Jesus. Be Lord and Savior of my heart and my life. And then, Jesus, do what you do best. Go room to room in our hearts and encourage us all to get rid of what doesn't belong. Teach us to have a heart of wisdom as we pause and ponder your living words of life. Amen. Listen, God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.